back with Teacher Talk, sponsored by the Columbus Education Association, who is solely responsible for the views expressed. I'm Sue Miziak, your host. The Columbus City Schools is committed to providing programs for lifelong learning, not only for children, but also for their family members. Tonight, we will discuss how help with literacy, job skills, and protecting the educational rights of children can make a difference. Our district is helping Columbus families through programs like the Adult and Community Education Department and Project Connect. Joining me this evening is Executive Director of Curriculum Leadership and Development, Susie Rett, Interim Director of the Department of Adult and Community Education, Pegeen Cleary, and the Liaison Coordinator of Project Connect, Mary Jane Quick. Welcome to Teacher Talk, Susie, Pegeen, and Mary Jane.
Good evening, Sue.
I'm glad
that you guys could be here. It's really a pleasure having you here. And Susie and Mary Jane have been on the program before, so this is great. Nice having you back. And Pegeen, the first time. It's really wonderful having you here. So let's learn a little bit about the three of you before we launch into the programs that we're going to be talking about today. Susie Rett, tell me about your responsibilities with the Columbus City Schools.
Thank you, Sue. We oversee all curriculum and instruction and programming in Columbus City Schools, and that includes programming that starts at the pre-kindergarten level and goes all the way through our adult and community education programs that we're here this evening to talk with you about. We have teachers that work with us on US Work, as well as other district administrators, instructional assistants that really support the teaching and learning in all of our classrooms. But again, we want our listening audience to understand that it goes beyond just the traditional grades K through 12, but includes our real young ones as well as our adult students as well.
And what we're finding is that the role of a school district certainly doesn't start with kindergarten anymore. It doesn't end with the 12th grade because we are looking at helping the community. And so we do have that pre-K and adult component. Well, thank you for the work that you do here, Susie. How about you, Pegeen? You are with the Columbus City Schools. Tell me about your position and your responsibilities.
Well, Sue, I'm the Interim Director of Adult and Community Education, and it really encompasses three different departments. We have the workforce development, which is primarily we provide training for the workforce for Central Ohio for the employment market. We also have the ABLE GED, which is Adult and Basic Literacy Education. And our third piece would be Project Connect, which ensures the educational rights of all homeless children in Central Ohio.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And we're going to learn more about all of those three pieces in just a little bit here as we launch into the program. But first, welcome back to Teacher Talk, Mary Jane. Mary Jane Quick, why don't you let our audience know what your role is with the Columbus City Schools and your responsibilities?
Thank you. Well, I am the Homeless Education Liaison for Columbus City Schools. And every public school must have a homeless liaison. And what we do is we work to ensure the rights of children who are experiencing a housing crisis. There's a federal law, many people may not be aware of, a law called the McKinney-Vento Homeless Assistance Act. And it outlines a number of provisions and rights of children who are in transition.
And it does make such a difference when they are in transition, if they are homeless, as to what's happening to them educationally. And we're going to talk more about that when we come back to Mary Jane. Well, Susie, although most people in our community know about our K-12 schools and even the Columbus City School preschools, in fact, I've actually done a program or two about the preschools that the preschool education that we offer. But many folks are not aware that we also provide education for those who are over 18, and this is part of the Adult and Community Education Program called ACE. So can you just give me some background or overview on this? Why was ACE established?
Thanks, Sue. So ACE, Adult and Community Education, was established many years ago. In fact, our nursing program is in its 60th year of existence.
60th.
This is their celebration of 60 years. And really, it was a call to respond to the community to provide, as you've indicated, beyond high school, a workforce development program, as well as to provide for students that may not have earned their high school diploma but wanted support from the district to earn their GED program.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to learn more about those now as we talk with Peggine Cleary. Peggine, you are the interim director of ACE, and I know it's, you know, Adult and Community Education Program, but we're just going to call it ACE because that sounds like a really cool acronym there. Anyway, among other things, you do provide that adult workforce education that Susie has alluded to, and we've also made mention of the nursing program. But what does this mean, adult workforce education?
Again, we provide training for the workforce in Central Iowa for the employment market, and we currently run a practical nursing school, a medical assisting, state-tested nurse aide, as well as HVAC programs.
Okay, and you know, I have to tell you, when I was doing my research on this, I went online and I looked at and I saw the HVAC program, and I thought, what does that mean? And there may be other people out there like me who are maybe a little ignorant of that. Is it an acronym? What does that mean?
Heating and ventilation and air conditioning.
Oh, those people that you really, really need when the weather's bad and nothing works, right?
Correct.
Oh, so you offer that. Now, did some of those courses, weren't they also offered at career centers at one point in time? Of course, those were for regular Columbus City School students under 18, right?
Under 18, they're held at Fort Hays. Both programs are held at Fort Hays, both the high school program, and then the evening program is run by Mr. Tom Henry, and it is for adults that have already achieved their high school diploma or their GED.
Mm-hmm. Now, these course offerings, are these courses the same then as the students take who are getting them at Fort Hays, who are the regular Columbus City School students? Are these the same courses, or are they different?
I wouldn't say that they're exact same. In the high school, it's a two-year program, where in the adult education world, it is a nine-month program for the heating, ventilation, air conditioning. They go to school from 4 to 10 p.m. Monday through Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Their curriculum was written and developed by Tom Henry, who was retired from the Columbus Columbus State Community College, and he has helped write both of the curriculums so that even if the students were in the high school level, they could come and have advanced standing in the adult program.
Wonderful. Now, when these individuals who are in the ACE program, when they complete their courses, do they have an inside track on jobs? Is there anything offered through ACE or through Columbus City Schools that helps them to find employment afterwards?
Well, we actively try. All of the students will serve, especially in the nursing and the medical assisting programs. They have externships or clinical rotations.
Oh, so they're already getting their foot in the door on those.
Absolutely. Uh-huh. And we have had great, the externships and the clinical sites do actively recruit to hire our students upon completion. Once they go through, not only do they have to take the test, they have to have a national exam, the NCLEX, for the practical nurse. And as soon as that is taken and passed, then they are eligible to be hired by the sites. A lot of the sites hire them as state-tested nursing assistants, which mm-hmm. they've come to us to take that, and then that's a prerequisite into the nursing program. So they have their foot in the door as a state-tested nursing assistant. And then after they complete all the requirements and pass the national exam, then for the most part, generally, they will all stay unless they have another interest in another specialty part. But mm-hmm. The majority of them already have jobs, just depending on the passage of their NCLEX.
Wow, wonderful. Well, now, you had mentioned earlier, Peggine, that, you're looking at making these offerings for people in Central Ohio. Have you found that these two particular courses, the nursing and the HVAC, that these are something that would be in demand in the Central Ohio area, because certainly,
I know that there are places out there that make offerings for types of vocational education, and then there aren't any jobs in that particular area.
We do a lot of time and put a lot of time and energy into making sure that the jobs will be available for the students after they've completed our programs. And example, the licensed practical nursing, once they become LPNs, we're in the 60th year.
Mm-hmm.
So there is never a problem for the practical nurses to be able to find jobs.
Yeah, there's a shortage of nurses all over anyway.
Correct.
Yeah.
And as with that, with medical assisting and additionally with the state-tested nurse assistant. So
yeah,
I think the job market is very encouraging for all of those. And the same with the HVAC.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Well, now you also offer, and you said this is the second piece of adult and community education, offer GED prep classes and literacy education. And this was under, what did you call it, the ABLE part of the ABLE
yes.
piece of your program. So tell us a little bit about that. And by the way, I heard that the price on GED tests is going up for people.
Yes. So let's start out with the ABLE. ABLE is Adult Basic Literacy Education. And in 2014, the test will change. Currently, the state charges about $50 for them to take their exams. In 2014, it goes up to $120.
Wow.
And just like a lot of people are familiar with the OGTs, there are sections. So there's five sections of the test. So currently, if you are successful in one, you don't have to retake that. But with the new test that's coming in 2014, if we aren't successful in all areas, then you have to retest in each section. In addition to the price increase, just like the Ohio graduation test, it's aligning with the Ohio Common Core, so the tests will become harder and more rigorous in nature.
Mm-hmm.
They're all going to be computer-based and the money. So it's kind of a three-prong. So we are doing everything in our power to get as many people in the door to start that process to see how many that we can get through before that 2014 change in
wow.
the test.
Wow, absolutely, absolutely. And you're also working with literacy education, and so this is for individuals where English is not their native language, it is their second language?
Correct. Well, we have a couple different parts. So in the ABLE, we have GED, ESOL, but also college and career readiness. So even for the students that did go and graduate and have a high school diploma, you can come through the ABLE program and increase your skill to be successful in college. So I think that's a really important piece to talk about. And in addition to the ABLE GED, we have ESOL, so it's English speakers of other languages that will come. We have classes like the GED all across Columbus, but they have different levels. So depending on the levels, we will help them with their communication skills. But then ultimately, the goal is the same for the GED, for them to go on and be able to get their GED or their citizenship. Last year, we started something new called the EL Civics Grant. We hold classes. We have held classes for people of other countries that have maybe a bachelor's degree in mm-hmm. another country. So they come and we work with their citizenship. And then this year, instead of it just being based on medical degrees of other countries, we're looking at anyone that has any degree of any country and then helping them come here and finding how they can be successful in America with what their certifications.
Wonderful. Well, now let's very quickly talk about where your classes are located and who are your teachers?
Well, our teachers are all, through the Ohio Department of Education.
Highly qualified.
But right now we have classes in all areas. In Columbus City Schools, they're at some of the high schools, Whetstone South, West High School, Woodward Park Middle School, Mifflin Middle, Monroe, Columbus Downtown High School, Fort Hayes, Windsor, Yorktown, just to name a few.
Well, let me just ask you a question real quick here. Peggy, depending, is the Does it depend on the location? Does it depend on where the students are, or does it depend on what is being offered?
We are trying to meet the students closest to their home.
Wow, that's great.
So in collaboration with Susie Rett and with Dr. Harris, we have been able to get into schools in the surrounding areas of Columbus.
Good.
So that the people do not have to travel as far. We also hold classes at our own site, which is at 2323 Lexington.
Okay, so, and your teachers are, again, from Columbus City Schools?
They're all Columbus City Schools employees. And
wonderful. Okay, well now, Susie, since this is adult education, are these courses accredited, and how, you know, is there a, it would seem there has to be a charge.
Yes, so they are accredited, as Peggy has talked about, through the certification through the National Board of Nursing and other certification programs. There is a charge. Our students do pay tuition. It's very competitive, if not the most competitive in the Central Ohio area, to be honest. And Pegging and the Adult and Community Education, they have a one-stop shop office there at their location at 2323 Lexington that can help students make application and work on financial aid as well.
Oh, wonderful. That is great. That is great. Well, now, Mary Jane, didn't mean to ignore you here, because you're the third piece of this whole adult and community education process that Peggy mentioned before. And we're going to talk about Project Connect. And it deals with the educational rights of children and youth in Central Ohio who are experiencing homelessness. Mary Jane, you've been on the program before talking about this. And certainly now, you know, our program right now is airing right before Christmas. And this has to be a tough time for a lot of those kids. But we're not here to talk about so much what's going on in terms of Santa and presents. We're talking here about what's happening to them educationally. So what is the goal or mission of Project Connect?
Well, the goal or mission of Project Connect is to really ensure and advocate for student rights when they're in transition. So what those rights primarily are is really to ensure school stability. So what we do in partnership really with the family and the school is determine what's in their best interest. Can we maintain them in their school of origin? That would be the school that they were attending prior to the family losing their housing. And so what's the feasibility of maintaining them in that school of origin? If not, then that family's, the children have a right to immediate enrollment into the school that serves their temporary address. Mm-hmm. And that even means like without what schools traditionally ask for enrollment, immunization records, shot records, mm-hmm. Birth certificates, all of that. They don't have to have that immediately. So they have a right to immediate enrollment without delay.
Wow, and that is so important, because if they fall between the cracks while they're in transition, we may never get them back. I mean, they may or they may miss just too much in the way of their education and even fall behind. So you had mentioned we do everything possible to keep them, however, in their original school. So do we have access to transportation that can, in some cases, make this happen?
Absolutely. What we typically do is, and that's cross district boundaries as well. We work collaboratively with all our surrounding school districts to see if it's feasible to maintain a child at their home school.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing we typically do is consult with the Department of Transportation. That usually takes a few days to find out whether they can establish a route for that student. And then if it's not feasible, then we look at what's the feasibility of public or private transportation services.
Now, if a student does have to, however, go to a different school
mm-hmm.
that they can't maintain at their home school, and this is due to the fact that they're in transition as far as their homes are concerned, an awful lot of times it's a real headache. I know. I remember being in the school office, and it's a real headache for a new student coming in. Is there someone who goes with them or in some way advocates for them as they go in and they face the school secretary at their new school?
Probably not really. We rely so much on our skilled secretaries to welcome a family.
Mm-hmm.
And it's often the secretary who recognizes that a family has come in, and they might say, a family might say, well, I just moved here, but but I can't prove where I live.
Sure.
That's an immediate cue that our secretaries can indicate that this family is likely to be in transition. So they can inquire just what's going on. Just, you know, help me to understand how you ended up living there.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll link that family to us because we want to make sure that children have all their basic school supplies. Do they have what they need? If they need clothing, I mean, obviously, families, if they're immediately removed from the home, they have an eviction and they must leave, they lose a lot. They lose clothing. They lose all their furniture.
Wow.
And typically our children may lose all their school supplies. So we want to just follow up on those, even just those basic needs, and put into place so that those things get met, those needs get met.
Mm-hmm. You know, so often nowadays I'm reading about different groups or organizations who supply backpacks filled with school supplies for children who are facing hard times and that. And we certainly hope that any of these students who are in transition have the opportunity to take advantage of that. How does homelessness impact the educational progress of children, Mary Jane? Do we see a big dip in their grades and attendance I'm sure it varies from child to child.
Well, you really mentioned two things. The fact that if attendance is going to be key. If a child has had pretty good attendance and all of a sudden they've missed a week and the family's not calling in that the child is sick, there might be a likelihood that they lack the transportation of being able to keep their child attending with the fact that they've gone into transition. So one of the leading things that a person's going to see is a decrease in attendance.
Mm-hmm.
Attendance is the first thing you might notice,
right,
about that. But also, homelessness is extremely stressful. It is actually considered one of the situations or experiences that are traumatic for children. So it affects their ability to learn. They're stressed. Stress affects their ability to have decision, like cognitive thinking skills.
Or being focus able to, even.
Absolute focus. Being able to differentiate decision making. And so it really affects their ability to learn. So
right.
Children are going to be much more at risk of being behind in school, unfortunately.
Wow. Well, we have to do everything we can then to help them, because it's bad enough that they're going through these unfortunate circumstances, but then, you know, to also have the stress of doing poorly academically it just adds another layer. And that's where Project Connect does come in. Can you very briefly give me a little rundown of the types of services and assistance that you provide?
Typically, we want to make sure that you're eligible for our service. Two, we're going to determine if you're going to stay in your school of origin or you're going to transfer. If we want to try to keep your child in their school of origin, we take responsibility of trying to process transportation options available for our family.
Mm-hmm.
We offer referrals to community agencies for different types of referral services if it's needed. We also do what's called dispute resolution. If there is a dispute or a school is concerned that perhaps it's not legitimate or they're not really in transition, then we'll take an active role in trying to help determine so that the schools are protected and the families are protected. We want children to attend the schools that they have a right to attend. So that's called a dispute resolution process.
Wow. Well, it looks like we're doing, you know, as much as we can, everything that we can to help these kids. Who are some of the partners that work with you to, you know, help these people who are in this transition perhaps, you know, trying to get them connected with the services that they need?
Thank you. Well, all our school staff, secretaries, school social workers, guidance counselors, they're often the first responders in a way, right at the school level.
Mm-hmm.
But also we have partners in the community. The YWCA Family Center is the emergency shelter agency for families. Also Choices for Victims of Domestic Violence. This is where families go when they're in need of protective shelter services.
Mm-hmm.
So we work collaboratively with them so that when a family's there, they help identify those families. We want to work with them to maintain their school stability. We also work with Homeless Families Foundation. Coalition and Volunteers of America and the Salvation Army, because those are three very active, important agencies in the community that provide housing services.
I'm so glad that we have an organization or a department like Project Connect to help these children and to help these families as well and get connected up with these agencies that are going to even provide more help. Finally, Susie, if people want to know more about ACE or Project Connect, whom should they contact?
Thank you, Sue. I do want to make one clarifying point. Earlier, you talked to me about tuition. All of our full-time career and technical do have a tuition base, but our adult basic literacy, GED programming, and ESOL, there is no tuition. For more information, they can go to the Columbus City School website and search for adult and community education, call our FACT line 221-FACT, or call Adult and Community Education at 365-6000.
All right. So there it is, people. If you want help with adult education, if you know of families or are a family in transition, you can get help through the Columbus City Schools. I want to thank Columbus educators Susie Redd, Peggy Cleary, and Mary Jane Quick for joining me this evening. It's really been a pleasure having you on Teacher Talk. Thank you so much for coming here today.
Thank you for the opportunity.
This concludes our program. Please join me on Teacher Talk, the first and third Tuesdays of each month. This is Sue Misiak wishing you a good night.